And we got on the phone our old pal Jay Amar. How are you, Jay?
Good. How you doing, Jeff?
Great. Your record just came out the other day, right?
It did, yeah. We just dropped it yesterday. I'm with the band right now in a van, so hopefully we're not too sketchy for you.
Well, you and your band, of course, are going to be sketchy. What did you expect?
Oh, I meant the reception. Oh,
okay. Well, the reception's fine. Yeah.
No, we're obviously sketchy.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that goes without saying.
Yeah, we talked about this record last year. You happened to be in Winnipeg, and we chatted right around the same time. It's taken a while to finally get out, but here it is.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's been a long time in the making. It started a couple of years ago, actually, and it's just finally released. You know, we did our first show in the Sioux last night. We're just heading back to Toronto.
Oh, nice.
And we have a show tomorrow night, a couple of theater shows, so we're high-classing it. In fact, we had an honorary D-Ranger show up to our show last night out of the blue. Yeah, guess which one that was?
I don't know.
Don Zuf.
Oh, he was around.
Yes.
Is he playing with you?
He drove from Winnipeg to Sault Ste. Marie as it was his 40th wedding anniversary, and he just wanted to come and show some love and get away.
That guy is a beautiful, beautiful man.
Yeah, you know, I heard a great story. Did you hear about the time the D-Rangers were misbooked into a punk rock club?
It doesn't surprise me.
So instead of calling themselves the D-Ranger, they erased the little dot after the D and they moved it over one letter and they called themselves Dr. Anger.
That's a great idea.
True story.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the record, why did it take so darn long to get it out?
Well, it was like a factor-funded record, and it just took some of these songs were almost 10 years old, and I would just kept whittling and carving and making sure they were all right. So it was a lot of that was me, and ultimately that the year since it was finally mastered about 6 months ago and, you know, fixed a little bit here and there. But having said all that, I don't really have a great answer for you. I'm a procrastinator.
I'm not complaining. I mean, it's obviously quite a labor of love, this record. So it's not your usual, singer-songwriter with guitar record. You really did something ambitious this time.
Oh, I did.
Was that kind of the goal? I don't want to just sound like the singer-songwriter with his acoustic guitar this time?
No, well, actually, part of the goal was to make it very cinematic and feel.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted it to sound like you're listening to a Fellini movie or, Twin Peaks, a Lynch type of thing.
Yeah.
That was in my mind. These songs all lent themselves to that vibe, and so it was very, very, it was constructed with that in mind.
Yeah.
Using Michael Voivoda, the producer, was the right choice, and we built it that way, and I think that's the way it's certainly nothing. It sounds nothing like what I've done in the past, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Michael Philip Voivoda, who's known for producing like all of my favorite Canadian records ever.
Oh, is that right?
He's just like, yeah, if you look through my CD collection, it's got his fingerprints on all of them. Was there an album or something that he's worked on that you heard that you thought, man, this guy gets it?
Yes. It's like in fact, there's an old absurdist play called Six Characters in Search of an Author by Luigi Pirandello, written in the 50s. And it's called, the idea of this play is like these six characters walk onto a stage and their lines aren't fully written yet. They're still waiting for the right, playwright to finish them. And I always say that's what this was like. I had these songs which were 80% formed. They just needed the perfect touch of a maestro to finish them, in this case a producer. So I went on my search,
Yeah.
And I kind of narrowed it down to a few albums that sounded like what I was looking for, and strangely enough, two of them kept coming back. One of them was They Promised You Mercy by Amelia Curran.
Oh, yeah.
And Power in the Blood kind of got
to
me.
Oh, man.
And, he worked on both of those, and you know, I have a new friend in Michael for sure. I was just came back from his wedding actually. So we
oh really?
Yeah.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
great. Super nice guy.
Yeah, and it's been a bit of a weird year for you because you haven't been touring. Like since I've known you, you're always touring. You never stop.
Right.
You never stand still. And this year, like you've been invisible. I don't know. Like have you been in jail or where have you been?
You know what? I am not really at liberty to say what happened to me. No. You know what? It was 10 years of touring North America to, you know, 120 to 150 a year. And just, I needed a place to basically decompress. So I took the fortunes I had amassed, you know, and found myself a drop-in shelter.
Yeah.
No, I just decided to take some time off and take the summer off touring, and it's really felt great, you know.
Yeah. So, like, what has that done for you, or what are you like? Is anything kind of clearer now, or are you more focused on anything now?
What
is that time off?
Jittery, you know, like a little bit more rested and self assured. I can have time to properly, you know, wake up, put on a pot of coffee, and maybe read a book and listen to music and. You know, I haven't really been reaching for my guitar too much to write. I'm just kind of enjoying the mental headspace of not doing anything, just walking through nature and, you know, meeting up with friends and going for a few beer and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just this normal things.
But will you be jumping back on the Trans-Canada Highway again soon, or are you enjoying staying at home too much?
I'm sure that's going to be happening. They used to ask Waylon Jennings, and they said, boy, Willie Nelson has 9 lives, man. Having all these close shaves, and said, you know, what's going to take down Willie? And Waylon said, there's only one thing that will kill Willie Nelson. Take him off the road.
Yeah,
and sometimes,
much.
And I can already feel myself getting the twitch. So I'm sure that it's this little break is counter to my authentic self.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see what happens.
But these first few shows, you're feeling good and having fun out there, I assume?
Oh, yeah, this is great. We have a really tomorrow night's a real big one, and at the L Green Theater in Toronto at Yonge and Bloor. So if anybody in Winnipeg in the area has friends in TO, tell them to come on down.
Yeah.
We have Chloe Charles is joining us as a special guest. It's
she sings on the record.
Band and, yeah. Yeah, so we're really stoked about that one.
I want to go back to the record for a second. A lot of people are bringing up the name Leonard Cohen when they hear kind of the sonic presentation of these songs. Was that intentional or?
That really scares me. You remember when they called Springsteen the next Bob Dylan?
Yeah. Well, they've called a lot of people that.
Yeah.
Springsteen's the only one that survived it.
Yeah, he's the only one that survived it.
Yeah.
I would never ever pretend to put myself into that category. I realize that people need signposts to reference who an artist is similar to. So I take it as a great compliment. However, he's a million floors above me in this tower of song, obviously.
Yeah. I guess I'm more asking, like, did you intentionally bring up that kind of a sound to your songs? Did you listen to Leonard Cohen records?
I think maybe that was more of something that the producer coerced out of me without maybe me recognizing it at the time.
Okay.
That's the way to put that, you know?
Yeah.
You do these things and maybe your phrasing is leaning itself to maybe some talk speak, or it's almost like recited poetry at some points, you know.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's really nice to hear. Thanks, man. It's nice to be put in that same breath, I guess.
Yeah. And what's the reaction been? What have people been saying to you about the record? Obviously, you know, they must be
telling
you like it. Yeah,
it's just so fresh. It hasn't really been reviewed yet. But as far as family and friends, you know, the people that are forced to lie to you, they all say it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like Barb and I, our friend Barb is here, and we were talking about it. And the first listen, you kind of get a little bit shocked by the difference and, you know, not being what you expected. But the more you listen to it, the more you kind of appreciate it. And
that's cool.
It's the best records always take a little time. And this one you
that
grow
was
with
definitely
it for sure.
The idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want, I would hope that eventually over about 10 listens. I was telling somebody the first time I listened to Graceland, you're expecting Rhyme and Simon, right?
Yeah.
You're expecting that, and Graceland kind of hits you over the head. And I put it away, and I didn't want to listen to it. It shattered my image of Paul Simon.
Right.
And I picked it up again, and obviously, you know, Graceland became Graceland.
Yeah.
And I think that's, there was some of that in my mind when I was doing this. I wanted to, you know, James Joyce said this, the central role of the artist is to spend all this time building a beautiful sandcastle as perfect as they can, and much like a kid, you know,
yeah,
with the sole intention of having as much delight in kicking that sandcastle down just to build a new one.
Yeah.
So I think that's just all part of the artistic process, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly, I mean, it turned out great if you ask me. I'm sure you're very proud of it as well. And, I look forward to more people hearing more of it. Cause now I can play it, right? You told me not to play it, which just about killed me for a while.
Okay.
I got this great record. It sounds really cool. I want to play it for people. And Amar says, no, hold on to it.
That's funny, man.
It's free now,
that
right?
That wasn't me. There's other people involved now. I have to toe the line. Pledge Drive week,
yes,
for you?
Yes, absolutely. That's right.
How can I help somehow? What can we do?
Well, you're bringing your star power for one thing and giving us something to talk about. But you know, just mention to folks, first of all, I guess you could say what having this kind of avenue does for you as an artist, like, you know, being able to...
No doubt about it. We're, you know, everywhere we go, without community-supported radio, right on down to, like, you know, every ounce of community-supported radio is where we live.
Yeah.
And where we live right now has been decimated by streaming sites.
Yes.
And just the modern machinery, the music industry, that it's just another, it's like a nice little warm campfire as a voyageur on the trail. That's what you guys are for us. We just sit around and I'm going to trade you some pelts for your whiskey, and we're all going to talk about things. So that's what community radio is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're keeping the fires going.
I've been saying all afternoon that this is the only place to hear a lot of this great music. And there's so much great music out there that doesn't get played, even on the CBC, mm-hmm. that this service, you know, that we provide is a pretty important thing, if you ask me.
Well, culturally, I think it's more important than people realize.
Yeah.
I mean, the CBC radio, obviously, that's crackling out the nowhere news, as Murray McLaughlin said, is vital.
Yeah.
You know, when we're traveling up in the middle of nowhere and you have nothing, it ties us all together in that one warm line, you know?
Yeah.
And all spaces in between, like yourself, we have this piece of art that hopefully people appreciate still. It's part of the cultural fabric, and you're one of the steeples that is off in the distance that helps us all out, you know?
Well, we all, it's a real symbiotic relationship. We need your talents to give us something to talk about, and we try to spread the word, so.
That's great.
Yeah. All right, well.
Say hi to Barb for me.
Absolutely, yeah. What should we play off the record? What song are perhaps you most proud of or think that really kind of gets the impact of the record?
I don't really know. You know, they're all a little different. You know, maybe play, I'll go counter to that. I'll tell you to play one that you wouldn't normally choose.
Okay.
And I'll explain it a little bit.
Please.
It needs some explanation. There's one called Two Planks and a Passion.
Right.
And that's essentially a theater expression that a person in life, all they really need are two planks and a passion. You can stand on a street corner with two planks and your passion and have your one act play, you know, about who you are in this world and what it's all about. And I thought about that. And one day I was visiting a friend, and she owns a place in Toronto, a bar. She was serving a few drinks to me, and I looked down at my feet that were on two planks. I looked at her, and she's a great artist. She's a sculptor and a painter, and here she was, an actress. Here she was kind of like honing her chops behind the bar, acting to the world as a server. And
right.
I thought, boy, this is just such a common story. She should be in New York City. She would own Broadway. She would turn it into its own little street, you know, and...
Right.
That's what that song is about. It's just about all the... So this song is dedicated to all the hardworking, independent actors out there who are slugging it out, much like us musicians, just yeah. trying to get by. And all you need are two planks and a passion.
Well, there you go. All right. Thanks, Jay. It is a wonderful record. And we hope that lots of people pick it up and enjoy it, because it's something else.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
So this is Jay Amar. His new album's called Your Perfect Matador, and he took some time out of his busy schedule to support UMFM Pledge-O-Rama. You can do the same, 204-474-6610, or go to umfm.com/donate. Thanks again, Jay.
Okay, hopefully, man.
Hopefully we'll see you before too long.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
I saw the artist, I met the actress, it was magic, electric. I played the walk-on to the young ingenue. I read as man number two to be. Was frozen. I lost projection. The wall was broken. The world was watching. I begged for mercy. One simple cue. I took this part of the fool to be. Close to you. Lights fade. They dim the colored halls of fashion. Lights fade. I'll carry out this charade with my two planks. Through Manhattan to the Upper West Side. You'll be holding down Ophelia with roses at your feet. You're gonna turn this storied avenue into your own little street. But you gotta pay the freight, so you paint your pretty face. For the lunatics and the politics is Juilliard around this place. Oh, pour me another one, baby, and let me enjoy the view. I'm only playing good time Charlie to be close to you. Lights fade. Lights fade. I'm only playing good time Charlie to be close to you. Lights fade. I met the actress. Take me home to you. your faith that lies in tatters, where you're holy, nothing matters, save the touch of truth. Let me roam through your fields of inspiration, no service, no station, you and I alone. Should know is I love you and I wanna go. I'm cold, we're alone. Take me home.
There's a couple tracks from the latest, the brand new record from J.A. Marr, Your Perfect Matador. That's Barb's favorite right there, Take Me Home. And before that, we heard Two Planks and A Passion. And we actually have a copy of that record to sweeten the pot today, if that might be something you're interested in. Just email me, or you could phone in with your pledge, or if you've already made a pledge, you could phone in as well. 204-474-6610. You could score yourself a copy of that fine new record from J.A. Marr.